السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we all know that we are in the month of Rabiul Awwal. Just as in the month of Ramadan, we listen to many talks, many speeches, many bayans, many waaz and many nasihat on taqwa, fasting in the month of Ramadan, virtues of Ramadan, etc., virtues of Laylatul Qadr. In a similar manner, in the month of Rabiul Awwal, generally, we hear many speeches, many bayans, many talks on the life of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message was not only for the month of Rabiul Awwal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was for all times. His message was for all times. And whatever we discuss throughout the year, whatever explanation of the Quranic verses is given, whatever explanation or commentary of the hadiths of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given, it is all related to the same Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding whom we say that we reserve the speeches for the month of Rabiul Awwal. It is the same Rabiul Awwal, it is the same Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala whom we are discussing. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it conditional, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you love Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asked to announce to the people who claim to have love for him, that if you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then فَاتَّبِعُونِ, obey me, follow me, make my ittiba, then yuhbibkumullah, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will also love you. So ittiba of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for the entire duration of our lives. It is not only for any particular month. And if we look at our condition, then even in that particular month, or in this particular month of Rabiul Awwal, it is more speeches than anything to do with practice. As I mentioned last night also, that we will say that my life be sacrificed over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May my parents be sacrificed over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May my wealth be sacrificed for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after that, in our lives, we will find our sacrifice is for the sake of some illicit love relationship that we have built up, and all our life is being wasted in that illicit love. Our life is getting wasted in that haram which our heart desires, which nafs and shaitan desires. We give our life, that sacrifice that we talk about for the love of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then in practice our lives are being sacrificed for other things besides that for which Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this world. Nevertheless, it is an ibadat to speak about Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any aspect of his life, to speak on it is an ibadat. If we are discussing shukr or sabr, or zuhud or taqwa or sabr or qana'at or ma'rifat or yaqeen. Now all these things, where did we learn from? It is all from Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So since we were discussing prior to my going to Haramain Sharifain, we were discussing shukr. That if a person brings four qualities in his life, or if he makes it a habit of doing four things, then inshallah it will make it easy for this person to gain practice on all the other aspects of deen. The first thing that we discussed was shukr. That for everything there has to be shukr. In just one eye, for that one eye, so much of shukr is required. For the hearing, so much of shukr is required. For the tongue, for the hands, for the feet, for the heart and mind, for our intelligence, for everything there is shukr that is required. Then again I went into detail that if you look around us, there are so many ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala that we are making use of all the time, how much of shukr is required. Therefore Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was told, اِعْمَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا, to make shukr, then Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya Allah, I am helpless, I do not know how to make your shukr. For if I make your shukr, then that will be an additional ni'mat of yours, that you gave me the tawfiq of shukr. That tawfiq of shukr which you will give me, it is another ni'mat, for which I will have to make shukr again. I will have to show gratitude again that you gave me this tawfiq, you blessed me with this ni'mat of making shukr of yours over the ni'mats which you have blessed me. So in another ni'mat now I will have to make shukr. And it will go on like that. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, well then that is the shukr. That you realize that for every ni'mat of mine there has to be shukr. So this is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala caused us to be born in the ummat of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or He made us accept the deen of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who are born, how much of shukr they have to be made, to make. And those who accepted Islam and are following Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they too in their lives have to make so much of shukr of this great ni'mat of Allah. Since we are discussing shukr and we are in the month of Rabiul Awwal, so therefore this is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for which we have to make plenty of shukr. That, oh Allah, if you had not caused us to be born in the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we do not know which jungle we would have been lost in. We do not know which idols, before which idols we should have been folding our hands and bowing down our heads. We do not know in which church we would have been ringing bells. Or we do not know which atheist group we would have been belonging to. Or we do not know which communist we would have been following and made him our idol and made him our role model. We do not know which jungle we would have been devoured. Because we should not, as I mentioned many times, we should not just trust our intelligence. That if we were born in some other faith, or we were not blessed with Islam, or with being in the ummat of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would have used our intelligence and followed him. There are many people with great intelligence. They are kings, they are rulers of countries, they are presidents, they are cabinet ministers. Their qualifications and their degrees, if we have to write them down, they run into, and their CVs, they run into pages. And so much of degrees and so much of qualifications, but they haven't recognized Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's oneness and greatness. And they haven't recognized Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last and the final messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who brought the complete deen. The complete way of life, the perfect way of life. So therefore this is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in which, for which we must increase our shukr, especially in this Mubarak month of Rabiul Awwal. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the desire of the Nabis of the past that they should be the followers of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was their desire that they should be the ummatis of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you have heard on previous occasions too, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when He created Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam, then when Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam was looked up, he saw on the arsh written, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So he asked Allah, that La ilaha illallah I know, but who is this Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informed him that if it had not been my desire to create him, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I would not have even created you. He is my last Rasul. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam the details of that Rasul that was going to come. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, this was his first knowledge of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who was going to come in his progeny. As that poet beautifully says, and I don't know how many times I must have read it in the majlises, agar Muhammad na hote to kuch bhi na hota, agar Muhammad na hote to kuch bhi na hota, na masjid ke unche minare, na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla na kaaba na makka madina, agar Muhammad na hote to kuch bhi na hota. Ha, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us such a Rasul that it was the desire of the Anbiya's to be in his Ummat. Brothers, this intelligence of ours is such that we do not know what it leads us to. The people in the past who accepted Islam, they went through very difficult conditions. There were a lot of barriers, a lot of obstacles, there were a lot of problems they had to face. There was so much of punishment, so much of persecution and so much of torture if they had to follow Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That one incident again comes to mind. I mentioned it in the majlis, but this is a different audience. And for those who have heard it, you should not think that we've heard this already. It must refreshen our memories, and it must bring us on to increasing that love for Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in Tanwir al-Salikin, this has been mentioned, and many other seerah books. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that there was one Yahudi, one Jew person in Sham, in Syria. At that time, Syria was all inclusive of Damascus and Syria and Jordan, etc. So there was this Yahudi who was a very religious Yahudi. He used to read the Torah every Saturday or whenever it was necessary for him to read. One Saturday when he opened up the Torah, then there he found the description of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sifat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In four places he found it. Because we must remember that all the Nabis of the past, they came and gave glad tidings of the Rasul that was going to come, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone gave the glad tiding. Even in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions about Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. Is qala Isa ibn Maryam ya bani Israel inni rasulullahi ilaykum. Inni rasulullahi ilaykum musaddiqan lima bayna yadayya min at-tawrat wa mubashshiran bi rasulin ya'ti. وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. There's no time to go into any detailed explanation, but he also gave the glad tiding of the Nabi that was going to come after him, whose name was going to be Ahmad. So when he saw in the Torah mention of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in four places, so he cut those sections out with the scissors. Because he was a Yahudi, he did not want to see the name of another prophet in the being mentioned there. So he tore it up. The next week again, when he opened, he found it in eight places. The sifat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mention of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, he cut those sections out. The third week, 12 places in the Torah, he found the mention. Because Allah Ta'ala wanted to give him hidayat. When Allah wants to give hidayat, then he creates the means. So now this person became very inquisitive and he asked the elders, the rabbis of the time. He said, who is this person whose name has been mentioned so many places in our Torah? They said, don't even talk about him. He is a liar, na'uzu billah. And they said that he is a magician. Na'uzu billah, he is this and he is that, and he is an imposter. All kinds of things they mentioned to him. He said, well, then let me go and find out. Let me go and investigate. Let me go and meet him and see whatever he has to say. Let me listen to whatever he has to say. I'm an intelligent person. I can find out whether he's speaking the truth or he's talking lies. I've read the Torah. But as it happens even in our times, and it happened throughout history, that when a person sometimes wants to go towards deen, he wants to accept Islam, or he wants to come closer to following Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then there will always be obstacles. There will be problems. People will talk a lot of things which will not be true, just to keep this person away, so that he doesn't listen to the truth and remains in that ocean of ignorance of his, and remains misguided. So they said, no, we are not going to allow you to go. But after much persuasion, then they said, all right, you can go. Because they saw that he's not going to stay behind. So he undertakes this journey. Now we must think of this person, a Jewish person, who has read in the Torah about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is undertaking this journey now from Syria on his camel or on the horse or whatever he was undertaking. And after many, many days, he was going to arrive at Madina Sharif. When he arrived at Madina Sharif, the first person that he meets outside Madina Sharif was Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we all know, was a Persian. He accepted Islam, and there's a whole history. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dearly loved him. And it is mentioned that if a person looked at Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then he would have got the impression that he is from Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam's immediate family. When he saw Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked him, he said, are you Muhammad? He said, no, I am not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So he said, where is Muhammad then? Because I want to see him, I want to meet him. I have read in my Torah about him. Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu now was in a dilemma, because Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away just 3 days prior to this person's arrival. He said, now if I am going to tell him that he is not here, then it will be a lie. That he is not here, then this person will be disappointed. And if I have to tell him that he is here, and come I take you to meet him, it would be a lie. So I just told him, accompany me, come to the masjid. When he went to the masjid, the Sahaba-e-Kiram, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, they were in tears. Just 3 days had passed, and only they can understand what kind of gham and sorrow and grief must have befallen them when Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken away from them. So they were in tears in the masjid. He thought that one amongst them must be Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So as soon as he entered the masjid, he said, Assalamu alayka ya Muhammad. So the Sahabas became very surprised that this person looks like a total stranger in our land. He doesn't even know that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. So they said that, don't you know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, and it's 3 days now and you are asking? So he explained what had happened, that in the Torah he had found a mention of his name so many places, and he has undertaken this journey right from Syria to come and meet him to find out more about Islam and his nubuwwat and his prophethood. But when he heard that he had passed away, then he was very, very disheartened. Then he asked that, is Hazrat Ali amongst you? Is Ali amongst you? He said, yes, Ali is amongst us. He said, all right, then tell Ali to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The best description that has been given of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's features has been by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There are many places it has been mentioned, but just the gist of which is, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was neither too tall nor too short. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a roundish face. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had a broad forehead. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had thin eyebrows. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, all the description of his hands, of his feet, every description Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave. This Yahudi said that it is exactly like that I found in my Torah. Exactly that description I found in the Torah. Then he said that, is there any way that I can make ziyarat of the jubba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if I cannot meet him in person? Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu instructed him that, go to my home and tell my wife Fatima to give the jubba of her beloved father, so that this person may at least make ziyarat of the jubba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There at the home of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Fatima, they also weighed tears. And they said, who is this person that wants the jubba of my beloved father? Who is going to be wearing that? Then from the door he said, as Ali radiallahu ta'ala was requested, and this is the whole story. So she hands over the jubba. He brings that jubba. This Jewish person, he kisses the jubba, inhales the fragrance of the jubba. And then he says, take me to the qabr of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That same qabr which I mentioned in my majlis the other night, where we stand, our mind, our thoughts, we don't know where they go, and the condition in which we stand sometimes there. Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon us. Otherwise, as I explained, that it is a waterfall of Noor and Rahmat that is descending there. And the angels from all over the world are coming in with the durood and salam of whoever is reading it, wherever he is reading it. So this person says that, take me to that grave of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he is taken to the qabr mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he says, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I believe and testify in everything that you brought from Allah. I testify that you are the Rasul of Allah. I believe in the oneness of Allah. I wish my mother had not given birth to me. And if my mother gave birth to me, I wish I should have not read in the Torah about you. And if I read in the Torah about you, I wish I would have met you before you passed away. But Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now that there is no hope of me seeing you with my sight, I have accepted the faith, I have believed in you, in Allah, and in everything that you brought from Allah. And then he raised his eyes towards the skies and he says, Oh Allah, I do not wish to live in this world anymore if my eyes cannot see my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there he collapsed and he passed away. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave him ghusl and he is buried in Jannatul Baqi. Now here, look at this incident. How much of trials this person went through before he arrived at Medina Sharif, and how much of love he had for Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he did not want to live in this world anymore. Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua and he passed away. Not one namaz he made. After accepting Islam, not one namaz he made. Not one roza he kept. Not one hajj he made. Not one zikr and tilawat he made. But immediately Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed him with Jannat. This was his good fortune. So what I am saying is that Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mention was made in all the books of the past. So how fortunate we are that without any effort, no one tortured us, no one punished us, no one made us suffer. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed us with this Islam, Iman, and being in the Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam out of his grace, mercy and kindness. So what a great ni'mat this is. Now how many times in the day do we think of this great ni'mat? When we are talking about shukr, that is where this incident came in. Then look at this person here, after so much of difficulties when he arrived, then he got the ni'mat of Islam. Here we have been blessed with it from birth. So how much of shukr we must make over this ni'mat. And the more shukr we will make, the more Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will increase the ni'mat. Whatever ni'mat it is. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif that Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is a great favor of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that He sent him amongst you. The time has expired, therefore I will conclude. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, then on Monday night we will continue with some bayan on the life of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But this much we have to understand, that Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left for us a deen. He left for us a way of life. He left for us a beautiful example. If a person has to go to the tailor and he gives him a suit and he says that I want my suit to be designed exactly like this, he gives him the material and he comes away. Afterwards, when he goes, he finds that one sleeve is shorter than the other, the pants, one side is longer than the other side, the coat, it is coming only halfway, then will that person accept that kind of suit? So here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us an example, He gave us a model, that this is my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and He is a Rasul for the rich, He is a Rasul for the poor. So the poor must not think, how can we follow Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the rich must not think, how can we follow Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he did not eat the things that we are eating, and he didn't travel in the type of cars we travel, and he did not live in the type of homes we live. Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left for us the Sharia, the beautiful Sharia in which there is everything, for the king, for the beggar, for the poor person, for the rich person, for the black, for the white, for the old, for the young, for the fit and healthy, and for the weak and sick. For everyone you will find a beautiful example in the life of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of emulating and following him and making his ittiba. Naqshe qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, naqshe qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. So that is the only way that we can connect ourselves with Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make dua for the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and especially for brothers and sisters and children in Palestine. Where did we hear of F-16 fighter bombers and missiles and gunships and what not against little children? It is just the quwwat of their iman, irrespective of what weakness they may be in their amal, but it is the quwwat of their iman that they are still able to sustain. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must strengthen their iman, and Allah ta'ala must cause these Yahudis and the Zalims to either get Hidayat, and if Hidayat is not in their Muqaddar because of their obstinance and their arrogance, then Allah Ta'ala must shake them up like He shook the Aad and the Samud.